Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 15.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 15, Episode 6. Firstly, I'd like to thank each and every one of you who reached out following last week's heartbreaking episode, Demon on My Shoulder. In almost 150 shows that we've put out, not one episode has produced as much outpouring of emotion from you wonderful listeners as that episode did. To say it was an emotionally charged episode, both obviously for the submitter and for me reading it out and obviously for you guys listening, would be an understatement. So I thought I'd jiggle a few things around for this episode and try and remove emotion as much as we can from this episode, focus solely on something which is paranormal, but also something which throws up questions for you to ponder about the spiritual world and about how we interact with it. That's not to say this episode will not be scary in parts. It definitely was scary for the submitter. This is just taking our foot slightly off the gas emotionally compared to last week. I had the pleasure of speaking to the submitter of today's experience yesterday, and I can say that this episode is going to be one which may not keep you up at night, but will certainly make your brain think of why we do things, how we do things, and what we're looking to get out of our interactions with the other side. And as you'll learn at the end, the submitter is also working on a follow-up for their experiences which have followed what you're about to hear. But before we jump into today's episode, we of course need to thank our wonderful team over at Patreon. Now, when you join our Patreon, not only of course are you supporting the show, but you also gain access to every episode we release on the main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else. And of course, that includes minisodes, debuts, and finales. And of course, you can gain access to our Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites is released each and every week of the year, even on the downtime between seasons, meaning you never miss your paranormal fix. But the best thing about our Patreon is genuinely the community. We've built a wonderful community of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts over on Patreon, and we'd love to extend an exclusive invitation just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Hathaway Goldman, Maggie Silvers, Simon Leon, Gail Salguera, Andrew McKinnon, Jojo, Kimberly Ungermore, Melissa Ray, Deidre Maloney, Kiana Bell, Lizette Ruiz, Emma Owen, Judy G, Gian Yoda, Rebecca, Samara B, David Collins, Teresa Lawyer, Samara from The Ring, Kaylee McKillop, Altara Ray Goza, Amber Ray, Alyssa Knight, Tara Charles, Raven Helen Lester, Andrea Devery, Emily Curon, Brianna Daniels, and Callie Krause. Thank you so much for the support, guys. It genuinely means the world. And if you like the sound of gaining access to early ad-free releases, as well as access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. So let's jump into this episode, which will question what triggers paranormal events. And also, How far into investigating our own spiritual side is, well, safe? So please, lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable and, of course, leave your disbelief at the door as we hear all about my journey towards the unknown. I've been wanting to submit something for months, as so many episodes have triggered my passion to share. I wish I could remember the themes of the relevant episodes specifically, but I've experienced so much in my mere 33 years, it's difficult to filter what is most relevant, with the breadth of connections throughout my life. But I'll give it a go. I feel I'm somewhat hypersensitive. Although I have autism, a misconception is one that we lack emotion. Yes, throughout my life, I've been told I initially come across as detached or maybe cold. Then once people get to know me, they know that's not the case. Since I can remember, I've always had a morbid fascination with death and the unknown, which is probably why I ended up becoming a criminology lecturer. Whilst I do have elements of detachment, this is only applicable to certain subjects and aspects of life. For example, death or explicit gore, sensitive crime cases. These don't faze me. Yet I'm very caring about people I'm close to, and I can be highly intuitive with energy, which is what I mean about being hypersensitive. I'll try to start at the beginning, but it may be a bit jumbled, jumping back and forth, so I do apologise if initially this comes across a bit disjointed, but hopefully the timeline I envisage will bring it all together. A brief background that will come in and make more sense later. I've always had someone with me ever since I could remember. Initially, my imaginary friend called Princess, who I used to talk to, and always felt someone was with me. But I also felt incomplete, like part of me was missing. This sense of talking to someone, if you like, continues to this day. I'll start off with some brief little stories from a young age, which at the time seemed irrelevant. Something that I can only assume I was born with is a phenomena where there is a kind of static layer over my vision. I can see fine, but since I can remember, there have always been tiny black and white dots, like old-school TV static, that I suppose would pulsate, if that's the right word. I thought this was normal. I remember questioning friends over the years, and they had no idea what I was on about. Only recently, in the past few months, I found out it's called visual snow. I guess because I hadn't really heard of it before, or researched, I never knew what it was called. And apparently, it only affects between 2 or 3% of the world population. The reason I'm telling you this is because when I was a child, especially whilst laying in bed in the dark, it was very prominent. I would describe it like a conveyor belt, like layers moving towards me. These pulsating, almost black and white dots are like tiny particles of energy. Very often when I was young, I'd see movement between the layers coming towards me. This and my general experiences started to decline during a part of my life. I think it was when I wasn't as open, or I had a lot going on. But as I will get into later, it's now very strong once more. One weird, brief, almost silly incident happened when I was between 8 and 10. I had a birthday or Christmas present. Both are so close together I can't recall which. But this present, I can only assume, was supposed to be Lucky from 101 Dalmatians, sitting on a cushion. Now, he was a motion-sensored toy. And back in 1998, these type of toys were in their infancy. Anyway, I remember a few occasions where I would be tucked in bed, completely still, and he went off. My bedroom door is right next to the top of the stairs, and I can assure you there was no one walking up or down. I live in a mid-terrace 1930s house, and I know which steps to avoid to be as quiet as possible. And I can certainly tell who is going up or down by the way they walk and the sound they make. The next day, I made sure to turn the toy off as it creeped me out so much. But that night, it still happened. This would happen sporadically over a few nights. But then one night in particular, despite being turned off, it went off lots of times consecutively. Being so young, I didn't want to get up in the dark to put the light on, as it was the opposite side of the room. Immediately after this night, I never had it in my room again. But now, the rational side of me wants to believe it was a mechanical issue. Moving on to my mid-teens, I'd say around 14 or 15, my mum was out one afternoon and I was in from school. Dad was at work. And I thought I heard the kitchen cupboards close. You know when you let go with an inch or so left and it makes that quite distinctive sound? Well, that happened. Excited she was back, I shouted for my mum. Mum! Mum! So I went down and she wasn't back. I creeped out and stayed in the front room until she came back. In my bedroom, when you walked in, to the left was a four-door wardrobe, which was against the door wall, and opposite that wardrobe was a double window. Three shelves were just to the right of that, and a dressing table and drawers sat underneath those shelves. The left-hand wall was where the top of my almost double bed was, and there was just enough space to walk round the sides, like a horseshoe shape. Anyway, on those three side shelves, I had my hi-fi, my iPod dock, candles and other general teenage bits and bobs. As you can imagine, I enjoyed blaring music, imagining I was a rock star dancing. One day I was doing this whilst Mum and Dad were both at work. I used to dance and sing from the window side so I could see myself in the mirror on the wardrobe, so like I was performing a little concert, as kids do. On this particular day, I was doing my makeup at the same time, using the mirror from under the shelves on the dressing table. It was sunny outside, and I remember the blinds were open. I only really used the iPod dock, as I'd have all my playlists on to perform to. But there were occasions that the volume would just turn itself down. And I'd think, that's strange. So I'd turn it back up again. Certain times it would turn down and up of its own accord. But this particular time, it turned itself down, which I remember annoying me because, of course, I was mid-performance. Anyway, I remember looking in the mirror on the dressing table, turning around to fix the volume, and there, in the middle of my bed, was a candle. Now, when I've told others this story, they say, well, could it have vibrated off? And I'd completely agree if it wasn't a cylindrical glass candle that hadn't even been lit. Oh, and was on the other side of the room. I froze. I looked at the distance from the shelf to the bed and thought, how? Considering I'm stood in the middle of both places. Surely it would have fallen on the dressing table, then the floor. Not 70 centimetres or so, and that's just the width of the floor space to the bed. It doesn't take into account the further distance on the bed where it landed. I bolted downstairs and sat in the front room until Mum came home. This incident particularly freaked me out. And it's what I now believe, with what my adult experiences have taught me, was maybe something seeing if I was ready. Ready to completely open up. To be comfortable. To embrace that side of me. I say this as I closed off quite a bit. I remained interested in true encounters, crime, etc. But things went quiet for a long time. Although I still always had that sense someone was always with me. And I was still talking to another someone. Today's show is sponsored by Acorns. Now, I used to believe investment was only for people on Wall Street or people with finance degrees, people who used phrases like buy low, sell high, and other things I will never understand. But the one thing I do understand is the importance of letting your money and your future having a chance to grow. However, investments can seem daunting and most people don't know where to start. And for many people, including me, you believe you need a lot of money before you start investing. Plus, we all have busy lives and we don't have the time to go researching how you start investing. So we say I'll do it tomorrow or next week or next month, but we all know tomorrow never comes. But Acorns make it so easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommend an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals and then automatically invest your money for you. I've recently turned 45 and investment has never been on my radar. But people like Acorns are so clear and straightforward, they've not only put it on my radar, but took it off my plate. So head over to acorns.com/dark paranormal or download the Acorns app today and start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investment involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. For important disclosures at acorns.com/dark paranormal.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Something that happened, which is relevant later on, happened in my parents' kitchen when my sister and her three children were temporarily living with us. My former partner was washing up and I was drying and putting away. My niece was also pottering around in the kitchen. My ex has this great ability to keep a straight face when joking around or winding me up. So much so, I would have to question him if he was being serious or not. And then, randomly, my ponytail is yanked. And I mean yanked. I turn around and ask my niece if he pulled it. My niece said no. My ex also claimed he didn't. But knowing how he can be, I said, yeah, whatever. And after some to and fro, he still remained adamant it was not him. But I never believed him. I believe this is my last random experience, which has a few layers. It's quite a recent experience, and it's after I've opened myself up, in a place comfortable and relaxed enough to embrace the spirit world, to develop my spiritual side, my higher consciousness. The event that triggered this, I'll move on to afterwards. So, between 1 and 2 years ago, my 10-year-old cat, Nala, yes, inspired from The Lion King, unfortunately passed away from complications at the vets. For a good few weeks or so, we found her claws in random places around the house, even after we thoroughly cleaned. As they say, spirit is strong to show presence after passing. I understand this may seem trivial and a reach. However, I cannot stress enough how many we found over a short space of time. As a family, we put it down to being weird and joked it was her showing us that she was still around and not to forget her. Now, this happened almost daily until we got her ashes back with us. As you do with a loved one, human or animal, you reduce and remove items over time. Most of Nala's toys were put away with her ashes. But we did keep some toys out as little reminders on the stairs and in the kitchen. One particular one we left out was a little TY toy from a Happy Meal. It was mouse-shaped, about an inch long, so almost cylindrical. Anyway, about 6:30 a.m. one morning, I popped down to the kitchen for a drink or a snack. Our Victorian mid-terraced house literally has a square of hallway, the width of the stairs, between the kitchen and living room. My bedroom's at the top of those stairs to the left. And as I turn 90 degrees to my left to open the door, out of the corner of my eye, I started to see movement at the bottom of the stairs. What I saw made my head turn. And it was this TY toy. But it was mid-flight, like it had been thrown. Yes, one could argue it was early, my mind was playing tricks with me, but as my eyesight focused on the bottom of the stairs because of the initial movement, I kid you not, the thing was rolling due to the velocity from the throw a few times. And I guarantee you, there were no toys there. I actually saw the thing drop from mid-air and roll from the impact. Well, I was gobsmacked. I paused and I said aloud, "It's too early for this." Like I said, I was ready to be open, no matter what weirdness happened, or to react in a spooked way. So I felt I needed to pause and think about my reaction, to show them I'm ready to embrace experiences. But now onto what I call the event. A key bit of information before I go into it. My Nan passed away on the 30th of September, almost exactly a year after my granddad. I'd say of a broken heart, as they'd been pretty much together their whole lives. As previously stated, I can appear detached. With their passing, I did not cry. I didn't appear bothered, so to speak. I think due to my concern and care for my family, my mum in particular. I was more concerned about supporting her than myself. Looking back, I think that as their passing was the first time I'd experienced death personally, I didn't know how to react. It took some years later for it to hit me. Perhaps because I was reflecting more on life. I hoped they were proud of me. And due to being a deep thinker, life progression, and getting older, my emotional side had developed more. It was 2018, October the 5th, to be precise. And I took my dad and my partner at the time to a ghost hunt at Warwick Castle, because of my interests. I couldn't tell you if it was because of my grandparents' passing that instigated an urge to go on this ghost hunt, if it was general interest or curiosity, or if my subconscious just felt ready, or maybe a combination of them all. My dad is a believer, and my former partner is a huge skeptic, which is why I was surprised he wanted to come. For those who haven't attended an alleged genuine ghost hunt by a reputable company, it is of course as it should be, overnight, starting around 8 or 9pm and ending around 4am. The evening itself is split into two halves. One half is using your traditional methods, like vigils, a human pendulum, and Ouija boards. The other half is comprised of modern and more scientific, if you will, methods of using various equipment, such as your basic EMF, EVP readers, spirit pods with those flashing lights, and spirit boxes, and more. By the way, at the end of the night, for at least an hour, you get to explore the location on your own, with whatever equipment you choose. Also, there's an experienced and genuine, if you buy into that thing, medium present, which I feel personally is particularly important and necessary for opening and closing Ouija boards safely and correctly, but also for channeling spirits. I'd like to add that at the beginning of the event, they acknowledged skepticism, and that some people may have more of an open mind than others. They never try to change anyone's beliefs, or try to convince people that their encounters were paranormal. They also never pressured anyone to get involved with anything they were not comfortable with. For the first half of the evening, we carried out the more traditional methods. In the first room, only four of the group opted to partake in a Ouija board, which ended up being the same four in all of the rooms we went to. Two of those four were me and my dad. When the planchette was moving, just by how the other two people reacted, I knew it wasn't being pushed. This is hard to convey, I get that. But I can't stress enough or explain well enough how I knew. If you buy into it all, the connection coming through, according to the medium, was that of a little girl. Now, I don't remember the details, but I do remember the movement of the planchette was so gentle. And again, I really can't reiterate that none of us were pushing it. As I said, my former partner is sceptical, but there was one thing he was impressed with, and even he said he couldn't explain. And believe me, he had an answer for everything. The medium set up a kind of game with this spirit of a young girl, because her energy wasn't strong on the planchette. He basically got four coloured stones, and chose the four people who were not using the board to hold one of these stones in their hand. Then he asked them to pick a corner of the room and go and face it. Anyway, the medium then asked, "Who is holding the red stone?" The planchette slowly circled the board as if someone was walking around to look. It then pointed at my partner. So when I called his name, he said, "Yeah?" I asked, "Are you holding the red stone?" And he confirmed he was. Anyway, this was at the beginning. Much, much more happened. But there was a personal experience where my nan, who passed away in that month some years prior, came through via a human pendulum. The interaction, questions, and answers left me stunned. The second half of the evening we carried out after midnight, utilising paranormal equipment. So your standard EMF readers, K2 meters, voice recorders, and also newer technology such as a variety of REM pods, which are different coloured tiny LED lights, like Christmas tree lights, and they detect static energy and then light up. Also, we had spirit boxes, which detect voices using AM and FM frequencies. So we carried out this part in the cellar of the castle, which was essentially a long rectangle and didn't have any doors. just more stone segments which separated different rooms and storage areas, and there were no windows. Quite far into the cellar, we placed the spirit pods around, and the medium picked up on a male spirit. There was some success with the pods lighting up and the spirit box. However, the medium suggested we attempt a human pendulum and invited those comfortable to partake. A human pendulum is a traditional method which works the same as using a pendulum swing to answer yes or no questions. The difference is, a human is the pendulum. So everyone stands in a circle, holding hands, and a spirit is invited to choose one person to communicate by rocking them backwards and forwards. As an FYI, the medium and staff running the event do not stand in that circle, so they can't influence any movement. There wasn't much success, so the medium suggested we separate the males and the females, as he believed the male spirit would be stronger with the men. So, us females vacated round the corner into another segment, but we were still within earshot of the group. We followed the same process, standing in a circle holding hands, and the female member of staff led the circle from outside, asking questions. She called out to any spirits who wished to communicate, to rock the person they wished to communicate with. As a side note, I had my flat biker boots on with my hair up in a ponytail. I began gently being rocked backwards and forwards. To make sure it wasn't my mind playing tricks on me, I tried to literally plant myself to the ground, but the rocking only intensified. The woman next to me said, "I think it's you," to which I replied, "Yeah, me too." The woman running it asked if I would like to go in the middle, but she didn't have to ask. I remember thinking, "Hell yeah, I paid money to embrace this experience." The woman then asked the spirit to rock which way would be yes and which way would be no. The next question was, "Are you connected to the castle?" I rocked side to side. "No." "Are you connected to someone here?" I rocked back and forth. "Yes." The woman asked each participant of the circle to ask the spirit, "Is it me?" So everyone took turns asking, "No, no, no." This continued with less people left before there was only me. I asked, "Is it me?" A strong physical almost push from behind rocked me back and forth. "Yes." The woman asked, "Are you male?" "No." "Are you female?" Again, a strong push. "Yes." So, if you buy into this, this was my nan, who, if you recall, died at the same time of year that we were all here, which I thought was intriguing. I was asked if nan watches over me, to which the answer was yes. Then, is there certain times of the year you're more around than others? Again, yes. So, we called out each month of the year. Now, what's interesting is that the month that were a yes, certain ones stick out. There was a yes to December, which is mine and my mother's birth month. A yes to January, which is my nan's birth month. A yes to April, which was my granddad's birth month. Yes to March, which is when my uncle, my nan's son, passed away. And there was another month which I can't recall, but when I asked my mum if it had any significance, we couldn't think of anything relevant. It was then asked if nan leaves me signs that she's around, which again was a yes. The woman went through all the common traditional signs, like finding feathers, etc., and the answer was no to all of them. She asked if I could think of anything, which I couldn't at the time. I was invited to ask anything I wanted, so I stood there thinking, Some people started chitter-chattering amongst themselves, and less than 10 seconds went by when there was a definite tug on my ponytail. I spun round, asking, "Did you just pull my hair?" All the women behind me shook their heads and said no. The female member of staff said, "That must be your sign." At the same time, the women who were part of the circle in front of me said they all saw a ball of light shoot down towards me at the same time my ponytail was pulled. Remember, we were in the pitch black with no windows. There was no way for there to be a breeze. The male pendulum had already finished, and it was time for a break. As they walked into our room to go back, we were finishing up, and I felt a real heavy sense of emotion. My dad appeared next to me and asked if I was okay, as he could hear what was happening in our circle. He gave me a big hug and I held back tears, nodding. After the evening and processing it all, it occurred to me that I wondered if that time my ponytail was pulled, whilst putting the washing up away, was my nan. After this night, my interest in spirituality peaked, and I began to practice the human pendulum on my own, which in turn developed into my use of the Ouija board. After much research in how to use it safely and correctly, of course, I also began tarot reading and started on my own journey of developing and harnessing my higher consciousness. And there are more experiences, but you'll have to wait for the next part. Sadie. Well, thank you so much, Sadie, for your submission, and this is why I love this show. I always learn something new. I'd never heard of a human pendulum before. Now, I try to research this to see if there's some sort of genesis or inventor of the practice, but it appears that it just spawned or evolved over time within the community of those interested in psychic phenomena. Arguably, it sits in the camp of dowsing, or using an object to channel your alleged subconscious psychic abilities, but in this case, you yourself are the object, so to speak. I'm personally not overly comfortable about the idea of allowing your body to be a tool of divination. Maybe I'm just overly cautious. But sincerely, Sadie, thank you for your experience. I also can't lie and say that the thought of someone advancing, if you will, to individual use of a Ouija board doesn't concern me, because it does. However, you do state that you've done as much reading as you can on the topic in regards to safety, and I can only hope it remains that way. But I guess we'll have to wait for your follow-up to see if any ramifications have taken place as your spiritual journey continues. But once again, thank you, Sadie. So that wraps things up for episode 6 of season 15. Now we're in the home straight towards the finale of season 15. It's the perfect time to send over your paranormal experiences. And hopefully we may hear them on season 16. Don't forget, if you want them to be considered for the show, ideally they need to be around 3,500 words, and it works out roughly to about 6 one-sides of A4 of a Word document. And those submissions can be sent over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. In the meantime, thank you all, as ever, for taking your time to join me on your show, and I'll speak to you through the week for another minisode. And until then, take care, stay safe, and remember, when you're dealing with the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.